I wonder how the internal conversation goes in your head when you fancy a snack. When you're a little bit peckish in the evening. Now, there are various options available to you. Of course, there might be fruit and toast, maybe a yogurt. Now, of course, there's always chocolate or crisps, or if you're really lucky, some cake. Now, I wonder which one you go for. And how do you justify your choice? Now, we know the fruit is the healthiest, but why is the chocolate or the cake always more appealing? Now, maybe you're one of those people who we all aspire to be like, who always pick the healthy option. But if you're anything like me, your sweet tooth kicks in. My question this morning is, how do you justify it? Now, maybe perhaps you've been really good. Perhaps you chose the fruit last time. Maybe you've worked extra hard today and you deserve the treat. How long do you have to spend convincing yourself? Or does the unhealthy option win out pretty quickly each time? Now, there are many internal battles we face. Some trivial, like what snack to have. But often the subject matter is much deeper. What job should I go for? Whose advice should I listen to? What path should I take? Do I engage in something that carries risks or goes against my initial instincts? What do I listen to? My heart, my mind, what I know to be right as a Christian, or whatever temptation or alternative voice is presenting as the right thing for me to do right now? What does it mean to try and live God's way whilst living in a world of sin, temptation, distraction? How are we to live holy, distinctive lives in a broken world? How do we win the internal victories in our own battles with temptation? How do we conquer our own mindsets, thoughts, attitudes, and actions if we are to live as Christ calls each of us who profess to follow Jesus Christ? How can we know freedom in Christ, as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, when an internal battle rages within each of us, tempting us to give up our freedom in Jesus, to slip back into the chains of sin, frustration, and death? How are we to make progress in our fight with sin? How are we to know real freedom in Jesus? How are we to win the battle that rages within? Now, today we are back in the book of Romans with Paul continuing to expand on his argument about what it means to know freedom in Christ. Over the past few weeks, if you've been with us, we've been exploring this together. Back in Romans 5, we saw we are justified by faith alone. It's Christ's actions upon the cross of Calvary that win our salvation. It's not about what we do, but about what Jesus has done when it comes to our salvation, our justification before the Father. We have been transformed. When we come to faith in Jesus, our identity changes and our behaviour should too. Not because we're trying to earn God's love, but instead because we know we are loved. We choose instead to live in a way that pleases our Heavenly Father. We operate no longer from a place of fear and of striving to earn relationship, but instead come with gratitude and choose to live in obedience to the one who has brought us life, who has transformed us. In Romans 6, we saw that we were dead to our sin, but through Christ are made alive in him. We started to explore, didn't we, about what holds us back from knowing full freedom in Christ today. Where have we failed to make progress in our fight with our sin? Where have we given sin too much power in our lives? Now, before we move on to the glorious Romans chapter 8 and start thinking about the hope and all the blessings that are to come in Christ, believe me, I'm excited already for next week. Romans chapter 8, my favourite chapter in all of Scripture. But first, Paul wants us to just hold on to this tension a little bit longer. He's one more dimension in his argument around freedom in Christ. That being the struggle we all face as Christians today, the battle of the now and the not yet. We've seen over the past couple of weeks that Jesus has won the battle against sin and death. But we live in the tension of being on the winning side eternally, but the battle still going on within us. We know sin has no future grip on us. We will live eternally with God forever. But for now, this side of eternity, we wrestle with sin and temptation. We know as followers of Jesus what we are called to be and do, but so often we get in the way of knowing full freedom in Jesus now. We get in the way of our pursuit of holiness and distinctive living. We know we are supposed to be living and growing in the fruits of the Spirit. We are supposed to be people of patience and purity, gentleness and kindness and love and peace. But so often the chocolates of the world are so much more appealing. We find ourselves displaying some of the greed and the pride and the judgment and the hatred and the lack of forgiveness that we see all around us. We know what God asks of us, but so often the demands of the world, our thoughts and our actions are dictated to by the ways and the brokenness of the world. We know as followers of Jesus we are on the winning side, but when we're real with ourselves, we know the battle goes on. It's a little bit like D-Day in World War II. The battle is won, the decisive action has happened, Jesus dies and rises again. But before the final surrender is signed, there are more personal and daily battles to be won. What ground still needs to be taken in your life? What parts of yourself are you holding back from the transforming love of the King of Kings? What motivation needs to be surrendered? What sin still holds you captive? Where do you still need to know God's refining if you are to live truly free and be all you were created to be? Where is our pride, or perhaps past hurts, allowing sin a way in to stop us flourishing as God wishes us to today? Why don't we jump into this passage of scripture together and see what God might want to say to each of us. Romans 7 is a tongue twister. Dawn did a great job of reading it for us this morning. There's the eternal battle Paul describes is both initially confusing as we get our head around all the do's and the do nots, but also as we reflect upon it, it becomes uncomfortably familiar. The battle between living God's way against the sway and temptations of sin, a lived reality for all of us. We know with our minds what God requires of us. We've pledged our hearts and our worship songs to the King of Kings, but sometimes we know we don't get it right. Each week we start with confession, a reminder of our own brokenness. Perhaps if you're anything like me, you could do with a confession slot day by day, perhaps even hour by hour. We know what God asks of us, but we find it so hard to live his way. The internal battle with sin is real. We are in this world of sin and brokenness, but we're called to not be part of it. We walk a tightrope as Christians, seeking to live distinctive holy lives in a world corrupted by sin and its grip of death. We're supposed to live God's way, but we know we fall short. As Paul says in Romans chapter 7, we do not do what we want to, but we do the very things we hate. I want to live God's way, but so often I fall short. We know what's required, but so often we do the exact opposite in our thoughts and our actions. We let God down. We reveal ourselves not to love God with our whole hearts or to love our neighbours as we love ourselves, as we pray each week in our confession. We want to do good, but so often we end up doing evil. How do we use the blessings God has given us for the good he intends? Or do we take what God has given us and use it for our own selfish gains? Paul says we desire to live God's way. We really mean it when we pray and we sing our songs of devotion. But how do we carry that through to action? How do we align our lives with the promises we make and sing to God? How do we push through against temptation? How do we overcome evil? How are we to know God's transformation and freedom in every part of our lives? Now, as Paul reflects on his battle with sin, he ends up in a cry of anguish. Wretched man that I am. The battle is heavy, isn't it? If we're really honest, sometimes we feel completely hopeless. But what is the source of our hope as Christians this morning? How are we to win this fight against ourselves? Well, it's in Jesus. We don't need to fight temptation on our own. We do not fight this battle in our own strength. We cannot overcome sin on our own. We cannot earn our salvation by following God's laws. We cannot keep the rules. Thank goodness we do not earn our salvation by our own merits, by always having to get it right, or we would all be doomed. We all fall short of the glory of God, as Romans 1 teaches us. But instead, it is our hope as Christians. We know salvation, freedom, love in Jesus, who, whilst we were still sinners, intervened. Whilst we were still ignorant of the problem, Jesus had already done the solution at the cross of Calvary. Jesus is our Saviour, our Redeemer, and our Deliverer. It is through him that freedom is known, that victory can be claimed in this battle with sin. I remember quite distinctively about 9 years ago, some of my friends at university and I from church were studying our way through Romans as a group of students. A non-Christian friend of mine one day had a go at me about how the Bible was just irrelevant. It had nothing to offer to modern day life. I remember walking home from our student union where we had had lunch, reflecting on her words ringing in my ears. As I got back to the flat, I started to prepare for our Bible study. I remember opening up Romans chapter 7 and being completely undone by how perfectly this passage summarized so much of how it feels to be a Christian. The battle between trying to live God's way and the temptations of the world. The struggle between walking the tightrope of holiness in a world of sin. The battle that rages within. Far from being irrelevant, Scripture speaks right to our very hearts this morning. It understands us. It reads us perfectly than anything else. It speaks directly to us. And even in the reality of our own brokenness, what is the hope of the gospel? Jesus Christ wins. He loves us. He's for us. He delivers us from this battle. What might God want to say to each of us today, 2,000 years after Paul wrote these words to the Church of Rome? How might God want to speak afresh through this passage of Scripture to us in 2020? Firstly, I wonder where you're at in your internal battle with sin. Is sin keeping you down? Is it accusing you and reminding you of your brokenness? Is shame the loudest voice in your head today? Maybe over past or even present sins and mistakes that stop you stepping out more in faith. What sin are you continuing to tolerate in your life? What are you laughing off and dismissing as not really that bad and missing the mark of progress God calls each of us to? Where do we all, and this is all of us, me included, where do we all need more of God's transformation? Is it in our thinking? Is it in a negative mindset? Is it in our actions? What holds us back this morning? Is it temptation, pride, stubbornness, past hurts, past mistakes or failed attempts to make progress that haven't worked and so encourage us this morning not to keep trying? What do we need to give over to God to allow him to fill our hands anew? What do we need to let go of in order to let God transform us, refine us, renew us this day? What are the battles you're trying to carry in your own strength that you need to let Jesus in on? Where perhaps do you need to call upon your brothers and sisters? Where do you need some prayers? What do you need others to keep you accountable about in order to win a fight against a particular sin? What do you need to confess to God in order to make real progress today? What chains need broken in your life? Secondly, are you growing in your fight with sin? Are you maturing in your faith? Or if you're honest, is your faith rather stagnant? Is your fight with sin and temptation stagnant? Have you given up? Are you settling for that'll do, rather than pursuing progress in your desire for holiness? See, in our gospel reading in Matthew, Jesus commented negatively on the current generation being like children grumbling in the marketplace. Is our immaturity stopping us from progressing spiritually? Are we blaming others for our lack of progress faith-wise? Are our hurts at the actions of others restricting our involvement in all God calls us to be as his church here? Are we too familiar with, but it's not fair, thinking that causes us to refuse stubbornly to move forward? Do our actions even begin to restrict and stop others from flourishing into all God has called them to be? Where do we need to examine our hearts and go to war against our immaturity, our pride, our stubbornness, and our hurts that stop us flourishing in our walk with Jesus? Where is human immaturity stopping us growing up in our faith and recognizing the full purposes God has placed on our lives? Are you growing in your walk with Jesus? Are you praying? Are you reading scripture more? Are you falling more in love with Jesus, or does your faith look exactly the same as what it did this time last year? If you are still in the same place with a human friend a year later and you hadn't become deeper in your friendship, in your enjoyment with one another, would your relationship be thriving? Is your relationship with God thriving, or is it stagnant? Now, God knows we can't do perfection, but he does call us to progress. Are you growing? Or is your faith in Jesus more about Sunday attendance rather than all of life transformation? Are you in for resurrection? Or is faith just about behaviour modification? Are you growing in your walk with Jesus? Are you falling more in love with him? Is your heart overflowing more and more with gratitude? Or are you fighting back? Are you fighting back more and more against sin by growing in spiritual maturity? If you want to grow in strength, you hit the gym, you do your cardio, you work the muscles out so that you can be stronger to carry more weight. Are we working out spiritually? Are we getting ready to fight the battle harder? Or are we sitting around not doing much and wondering why sin keeps kicking us in the bum? Are you taking the fight to sin? Are you growing up in your faith? Thirdly, I wonder how you're using the blessings and the calling God has put on your life. See, in Romans chapter 7, Paul speaks of the reality of that whenever he wishes to do good, evil lurks at hand. Are we using our talents, our gifts, our resources for good or for evil? See, God has poured out his blessings on us. Do we use what we have to build God's kingdom, to grow in holiness? Or are we consciously, or perhaps even unconsciously, just growing our own desires, taking what was given for good to plant seeds of evil, greed, selfishness, sin? What are you doing with your finances? What are you doing with your words? What are you doing with what God has put in your hands? What are you consuming? What are you watching? What are you listening to? What's your motivation? What's on your heart this morning? How do we use what we have been given to grow in our faith and to advance God's kingdom? If we're honest, is our Christianity just about getting blessings for us? Or are we serving others as Christ calls us to? In our prayer lives, do we just pray for our own wants and needs? Or are we praying earnestly for the world and those around us? Is your Christianity all about you? Or are you growing up in your faith to see it as service and love for others? What's driving you forward? Is it self-advancement in the eyes of the world? Or is it growing in holiness and the ways of the Lord? What has God given you that you've taken for granted? Or that has become a source of temptation, distraction, and sin in your life? Has promotion or advancement in the world's eyes robbed you of humility and the call upon each of us as disciples to serve? Have financial gains been reflected in your giving onto the Lord? Or instead, are you investing and chasing after security in something other than righteousness? Where have the devices that we own led us further away from God and deeper into sin? What have you allowed your eyes and your ears and your heart to digest online or on social media that have led you away from God's purposes for you? Where have God's grace and gifting and blessing on your life been twisted to lead you down a path of sin and selfishness rather than closer to Him? Where do we need to be honest with ourselves before God? What battles are we losing this morning? What do we need to stop watching or listening to? Whose voices do we need to stop listening to in order to live free and how God wants us to? Where have we got too comfortable in our sin? Where are we enjoying hanging out in the old grave clothes we were encouraged to take off when we stepped into freedom in Jesus? Where do we need to make progress today? What temptations and desires are robbing you of being all that God has called you to be? What's in your hands? What are you consuming? Who or what are you listening to? We've got to make progress together. Fourthly, I wonder what reaction does your brokenness or your sin provoke in you? Does your sin grieve you? See, Paul gets to the point in the passage where he almost in anguish shouts out, "Oh, what a wretched man I am." Are you troubled by your sin today? Now, we've got to be careful. We don't want to move into a place of judgment or condemnation or fear. But we do have to take sin seriously. Do we repent of it as we should, or do we laugh it off? When we come to Jesus, we are made new. We live in His forgiveness today. There's no condemnation, but there should be transformation. Where are we moving forwards? We come to Jesus as we are, but He loves us way too much to leave us there. The way to Jesus is open to everyone. You know, it breaks my heart, and I have this conversation frequently where people say to me words like, "Amy, if you just knew how broken I was, how bad I've been, you'd understand that Jesus could never love me. I've mucked it up too badly." The hope and the truth of the gospel is there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. There's nothing we can do either to make God love us more. His arms always hang this way on the cross for us. That is how much He loves you. Whatever you need today, find it in Jesus. In the gospel reading, Jesus offered rest to all who are weary. The offer to come to Him is open to us all. Are you weary today? Are you fed up carrying the burdens of this world? Are you feeling beaten down by the mistakes of the past and even in the present? Does the voice of shame and regret cry loudly in your ears and in your heart this morning? Come to Jesus. Find rest in Him, hope in Him. His arms are open. He runs towards you. You are not too far gone for Him to love. He has a plan for you. for you. All it requires is that you put your trust in him. His mercy is new every day. Yes, we want to make progress in our fight with sin, but God doesn't cast us off when we muck it up. He's faithful even when we are not. We need to take sin seriously, but we also need to take it seriously that when God says we are forgiven, we are. Loads of us come to God and confess and say sorry. God forgives us when we confess to him, but we still carry it around with us. Some of us have been confessing and asking forgiveness for the same things for years. See, we take our sin seriously, but we're not taking seriously the offer of forgiveness that God makes us to us. We confess to God, we hand it over, and then we're supposed to move forward. Who needs to take seriously God's forgiveness in their life and learn to forgive themselves? Because God has already dealt with it at the cross. We need to stop living in the mistakes of yesterday and today and walk into our future in the freedom that God offers us to us. The battle with sin is real. The war rages within us. Temptation, distractions, our thoughts, our actions, our motivations betray our love for God. We cannot live perfect lives, never mind perfect days or hours, but God loves us. He's for us. He gave his only son to redeem us. We cannot earn our salvation through our own merits or actions, but today let's choose to receive the free gift of God's grace to us. We can't fix ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We get it wrong. Sin is real. But God's love is higher and deeper and wider than we dare imagine. Tim Keller, a pastor from New York, puts it this way. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dare believe. Yet, at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dare hope. Today, let's fight in Christ's strength against the sin that wages war against us. Let's push back against temptation and distraction in order that we might mature in our faith. What sin today do you need to take seriously? Where do you need to thank God for his rescue of yourself? Do you know your Saviour? Are you fed up trying to earn your salvation, of being good enough and failing? Instead, come to Jesus. Know his love and rest in him today. Know his hope and his purposes for you. Today, let's step into freedom and life in all its fullness. Amen.